It's mine!
He screamed at me. He shook me on each word, slamming my head back against the gravel in precise, separate detonations of pain and bright stars in my vision.
Give it to me! Mine!
A zombie landed on the gravel near us in a crouch and turned toward me. Its dead eyes regarded me without passion or thought as it formed a fist and drove it at my head. Before it could land, a flickering saber from one of the spectral cavalry whispered through the night and the rain and struck the zombie on the neck. The corpse's head flew from its shoulders, dribbling a line of sludgy black ichor, and landed with its empty eyes staring into mine. Thomas screamed,
"Down!"
I stopped struggling to get up and tried to press myself as flat to the ground as I could. The driver's side door to the Beetle flew open, swept just over the end of my nose, and struck Liver Spots in the face. He flew back from me. Thomas leaned out of the driver's side to grab at me, but a second ghostly horseman swept by, sword hissing. Thomas ducked in time to save his neck, but took part of the slash across his temple and ear and scalp, and that side of his head and shoulder was almost immediately covered in a sheet of blood, a few shades too pale to be human. Thomas recovered his balance and pulled me grimly into the car. I fumbled with the keys and shoved them into place. I twisted the key in desperate haste, mashing on the gas as I did. The engine turned over once and then stalled.
Damn it!
Thomas cried in frustration. A streak of faint green light appeared in the air over the car's hood. A second later, another went by, this time ending at the hood. There was a startling sound of impact and the frame of the car rattled. A bullet hole appeared in the hood. I tried the car again, and this time coaxed the old VW to life.
Hail the mighty Beetle!
I crowed and slapped the car into reverse. The wheels spun up gravel and mud, and I shot back straight into a crowd of zombies, slamming into them and sending them flying. I whipped the car's hood toward the street and shifted into drive. As I did, I got a look at the corpse taker bearing down on Gravain, tulwar raised. From somewhere in his coat, Gravain produced a length of chain, and as the sword swept toward him, he held up the chain, his arms outstretched, and caught the blow on the links between them, sliding the deadly blade away from him. Corpse Taker howled in fury and whirled the phantom mount around to charge him again, almost absently striking the head from a zombie as she passed it. I flattened the gas pedal and the Beetle lurched forward, straight toward a trio of ghostly cavalry troops. They bore down on us, not wavering.
I hate playing chicken, I muttered, and shifted into second.
Just before I would have hit them, the cavalry leapt, translucent horses and riders rising effortlessly into the air over the car to land on the ground behind me. I didn't give them a chance to whirl and try it again. I bounced the Beetle out onto the street, turned left, and charged away at flank speed. I got a few blocks away, then slowed enough to roll down the window. There were no screams or shrieks of battle. The rain muffled the sound, and in the heavy darkness, I couldn't see anything going on behind me. I could dimly hear the whooping bass drum that kept Gravain's zombies going, still somewhere out there in the background. Beyond that, very quiet but getting nearer, I heard sirens.
Everyone all right? I asked.
I'll make it, Thomas said.
He had stripped out of his jacket and shirt and had the latter pressed to the side of his bleeding head.
Mouse? I asked.
There was a wet, snuffling sound by my ear, and Mouse licked my cheek.
Good, I said. Butters?
There was silence. Thomas looked at the back seat, frowning.
Butters, I repeated. Hey, man. Earth to Butters.
Silence.
Butters?
I asked. There was a long pause, then a slow inhalation. Then he said in a very weak voice,
Polka will never die.
I felt my mouth stretch into a fierce grin.
Damn right it won't, I said.
True, Thomas sighed. Where are we going?
We can't go back there, I said. And with the wards torn down, it wouldn't do us too much good anyway.
Where then? Thomas asked.
I stopped at a stop sign and patted at my pockets for a moment. I found one of the two things I was looking for. Thomas frowned at me.
Harry, what's wrong?
The copy of the numbers I made for Gravain, I said. It's gone.
Liver spots must have grabbed it from me when we were tussling. Damn, Thomas said. I found the key to Murphy's house in another pocket.
Okay, I've got a place we can hole up for a while until we can figure out our next move. How bad is the cut?
Bleeder, Thomas said. Looks worse than it is.
Keep pressure on it, I said.
Thank you, yes, Thomas said, though he sounded more amused than annoyed. I got the beetle moving again, frowning out the windows.
Hey, I said, do you guys notice something?
Thomas peered around for a moment.
Not really, too dark.
Butters drew in a sharp breath. His voice still unsteady, he said,
that's right. It's too dark.
He pointed out one window.
That's where the skyline should be.
Thomas stared out.
It's gone dark.
Lights are out, I said quietly. Do you see any anywhere? Thomas looked around for a moment, then reported,
looks like a fire off that way. Some headlights, some police lights. The rest are... He shook his head.
What happened?
Butters whispered.
So that's what Mab meant. They did this, I said. The heirs of Kemmler.
But why? Thomas asked.
They think that one of them is going to become a god tomorrow night. They're creating fear, chaos, helplessness.
Why?
They're preparing the way.
Thomas didn't say anything. None of us did. I can't speak for the others, but I was afraid. The beetle's tires whispered over the streets as I drove through the cold, lightless murk that had fallen over Chicago like a funeral shroud.